Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for The Viking Age. Before we get started, make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is @TheVikingAge, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, let's get to today's show.
When you score this upcoming week, is it possible for you to get Kirk Cousins involved in the gritty? Can you attempt to make that happen for us?
I can try, but you know, Kirk is a guy that likes to be laid back, especially with the dance moves. But I definitely would try to
try to get Kirk Cousins. Hopefully, you guys got to get an opportunity to get on the grass. I know the facilities were closed. Will be closed Monday and Tuesday. But if you get a chance to get on the grass, whisper in his ear, say, Kirk, when I make this big play, I need you to come do the gritty with me. Just try.
All right. I got you. I'm going to get it done for you.
Oh, man. Kirk Cousins doing the gritty. Can't wait to see that happen. It won't be awkward at all. That was Justin Jefferson on the All Things Covered podcast with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden. Go check out that interview. It's a pretty good one, and you'll get to learn a few things about Justin Jefferson. All right, today we've got some Twitter questions to take care of, and then we're going to have a chat with YouTube's UCF Jaguar to preview this week's Vikings game against the Jaguars. All right, so here's some Twitter questions. The first question comes from Kirby, and he asks, is there any chance we see Mike Hughes or Holton Hill again this season? Now, both of them are on IR, and this year with COVID and everything, they only have to be there for 3 weeks in order to return. Holton Hill went on there with a foot injury on November 10th, and Mike Hughes went on there with a neck injury on October 30th. So they should both be eligible to return right now. But if they haven't come back already, I wouldn't see them coming back anytime soon. Just Mike Hughes, one, it's a neck injury. You don't want to play around with that. He already had a neck injury less than a year ago, so that's not something to mess around with. Especially, you know, look at Danielle Hunter and how that went. And then with Holton Hill, his foot injury apparently was bothering him for a while before he even went on injured reserve. So maybe he can come back. If it's between the two, I would say Hill probably would come back before Hughes. But with what they're doing right now with Cameron Dantzler and Jeff Gladney and even Chris Jones out there, maybe, and Chris Boyd, I think they're just building some continuity in the cornerback group, and maybe they bring back Hill for some depth, but I don't think they would they don't really need Holton Hill to be back right now. The secondary is kind of starting to gel really well for the Vikings, and I don't think they should do something maybe to potentially mess that up, even if it is Holton Hill coming off of injured reserve. All right, there's two more questions, but both of them pretty much have to do with a similar subject. The first one's from Tim, and he says, if the Vikings can win the next two games, do they start being more cautious with Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen to stay as healthy as possible to as they try and finish off a playoff push? And then this next question from Vikings Lover asks how cautious the Vikings should be with Dalvin Cook. For both of those, the Vikings shouldn't be cautious with either Dalvin Cook or Adam Thielen or anyone else on their roster. They're 5-6. They really cannot afford to lose another game if they want to make the playoffs. You know, they possibly could still get in if they lose one more game, two games. It's likely not going to happen. But if they win out, their chances of getting the playoffs will be very high. And they're going to need the best out of Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen in every game. So even against the Jaguars this weekend, you know, maybe this weekend, if the Vikings get out to a large lead against the Jaguars, who are 1-10, if they get out to a large lead, they can pull Dalvin Cook in like the fourth quarter and Adam Thielen and sit those guys down, save them for the Vikings' next game against the Tampa Bay Bucks, which is probably going to be a little more difficult than when they play the Jaguars. But I don't think they should, you know, be cautious with either of these guys. I don't like thinking about the future, especially in football, when you just you really can't anticipate what's going to happen in the sport of football. Things just happen in, you know, the blink of an eye. Look at Teddy and his careers, guys like Alex Smith. Just things just happen that you can't plan for in the sport of football, which means that just use Dalvin Cook at this point while he's running like a maniac. Use Adam Thielen while you can before, you know, he dips off and starts to, his play starts to trend in the wrong direction. So no, I don't think they should be cautious, because if they do, then they probably won't make the playoffs. All right, so that's enough for me today. So we're just going to get right into the interview with UCF Jaguar. Here it is. All right, joining the show now is someone who is pretty well known in the Jacksonville Jaguars fan community. He goes by the name of UCF Jaguar on his YouTube channel, and you can subscribe to his YouTube channel by searching for UCF Jaguar. So go ahead and do that, because he's got some pretty entertaining videos. But his real name is Dalton, so welcome to the show, Dalton.
Hey, Adam, I appreciate you having me on, and I'm looking forward to this matchup this week with an unfamiliar opponent, as obviously the Vikings and Jaguars only face off once every 4 years, so should be some fun.
Yeah, they almost met in, there was a chance they could have met in the 2017 Super Bowl, but we don't need to talk about that.
We missed out on the Case Keenum, Blake Bortles legendary Super Bowl.
We did. Oh, man. Instead, we got, what, Nick Foles and Tom Brady?
Yeah.
First off, you're welcome for the second round pick. Yannick Ngakoue lasted for 6 games with the Vikings before they decided to trade him to the Ravens. Whether he just wasn't a good fit for the defense or they wanted to avoid paying him, the Vikings decided just to cut their losses pretty quickly. Were you disappointed that the Jaguars, before they traded him to the Vikings, that they couldn't find a way to keep Ngakoue in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely was. And that's one reason. I mean, Dave Caldwell got fired, obviously, as you know, our GM this week. And I mean, the thing about Dave Caldwell, he's actually been able to bring in some talent, but all of the best talent that he's brought in has just exited the building. And, you know, I was at the point where I'm like, we got to start retaining some of these guys, or else we're just going to get such a bad rap. I mean, you look at it, and Allen Robinson did not want to sign back with the team. Jalen Ramsey, in the middle of a season, forced his way out. And Yannick Ngakoue literally took an $8 million pay cut to leave Jacksonville. So I'm just like, what is going on here? So, I mean, I wasn't mad about the trade, because obviously we weren't going to get anything out of him. He wasn't going to play or anything. But, I mean, just to give him up, I mean, it sucks that we couldn't re-sign him. But it was kind of interesting. I was looking into kind of Yannick Ngakoue and how he's been doing outside of Jacksonville. And right now, like, when you combine the Ravens and Vikings records with Yannick Ngakoue, they're 2-9. And without him, they're 9-2. I mean, that's just, I mean, obviously it's not solely on him, but it's just kind of incredible.
Yeah. I just, looking at the Vikings situation, I think he wasn't that great of a fit. You know, I think you're pretty well aware that he's not the greatest run defender in the world. He's pretty much focused on just being a pass rusher. And that's, I'm thinking that probably rubbed Mike Zimmer the wrong way, because he's big on his guys, you know, tackling. Like, even if you're a corner and your coverage isn't that great, he'd rather have you be a great tackler than, you know, not good at all. But aside from that, we'll just get into maybe some info on how you actually became a Jaguars fan, because I don't think I'm making a bold statement when I say that the Jaguars fan base isn't massive, as it is for teams like the Steelers and Cowboys and Packers, maybe even the Vikings. So how exactly did you become a Jaguars fan?
Well, the story of how I became a Jaguar fan, I'm sorry, it's not super interesting. I was just raised in Jacksonville. Yeah. You know, I was born about an hour and a half away in Ocala, then moved to Jacksonville when I was like 2 or 3 years old, and lived there until I was 18. And then once I turned 18, I moved to Orlando to go to University of Central Florida. And that's where UCF Jaguar was kind of born. So just grew up in Jacksonville. I mean, that's kind of my story behind that whole thing.
My first Jaguars memory, I think, growing up was back in 98 when the Vikings actually beat them 50-10. That was during their crazy 98 season when they went 15-1, and I believe Jonathan Quinn was the quarterback for the Jaguars during that game. It was was really random.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, me during I was born in 93, so the 90s is a little bit out of my. I know about the teens, but I didn't literally live through it. But
I was 10 right. when that happened. So, but actually, you know what? I take that back. My first Jaguars memory, I think, is actually when they beat the Bills and Broncos in 96. So you were 3, so you probably don't have a memory of that. But I grew up in upstate New York, so I had a lot of friends who were Bills fans, and then my dad was a Broncos fan, so I remember him just getting super upset about losing to the Jaguars in the playoffs, who were barely, you know, that was like, I believe it's like their second season, maybe, in existence. But who is your all-time favorite Jaguars player, and then who is the guy that you most enjoy watching on the current Jaguars team?
I guess I'll say two of my favorite Jaguar players. I mean, the easy one for me is Fred Taylor, just because he was so... I mean, he was just so good, and he was, you know, it was during the time when I was really growing up and becoming a football fan. So, I mean, it's obvious, like, you know, you kind of go to the productive running back because that's kind of the most flashy thing. But kind of an underrated guy that may not be the best, but I just really loved, and that was Blake Bortles, just because it's kind of an emotional attachment for me because he was drafted to the Jaguars when I was a sophomore in college. So, it was really cool just kind of having a trance to him kind of go over there. And then the best year
did he go to UCF? He went to UCF.
Yeah, he was a UCF guy. Oh. So I was a sophomore at UCF when he was drafted. And when it was my sophomore year, he also led the UCF to a Fiesta Bowl and kind of put them on the map. So that was a little bit emotional for me. And then the most fun year I've ever had following the Jaguars was in 2017 when he was quarterback and led us to the AFC Championship game. And a lot of Jaguar fans, I mean, he was just getting torn apart by the national media. And then Jaguar fans kind of rallied around him and defended him, even when we probably shouldn't have been. But it was still it was just a fun time. And he just chill dude. So a lot of Jaguar fans kind of liked him for that. But Fred Taylor, my favorite player, but I got to give an honorable mention to Blake Bortles.
Okay, and who's the guy on the current team that you most enjoy to watch these days?
I'd probably say, I mean, right now the Jaguars are 1-10. So let's see. James Robinson. I'll go with James Robinson. Undrafted rookie. It's amazing that Jaguars had 12 draft picks this year, 2 in the first round, and our best rookie turned out to be an undrafted running back. So, but he's been great. I mean, when the Jaguars did a lot of questionable things this offseason. One of those things is being randomly cutting Leonard Fournette. But that was one thing that they turned out to actually be right on. And Fournette's not really doing much of anything in Tampa. Then you look at James Robinson. He's just a better running back than Fournette. I mean, better vision, more elusive, just runs through the pocket better, lower center of gravity, like his hips are lower so he doesn't get tripped up as easy, better balance. He's just a pure running back, man, and he's just been such a joy to watch. I picked him up in literally all 4 of my fantasy leagues, so he's just killing it for me. So favorite player on a current team has to be James Robinson.
You know, you're not a big Mike Glennon guy, you know, you know.
Oh god. I'm so done with these crap quarterbacks, let me tell you.
You're not a big Blaine Gabbert guy either, you know.
Oh my god, I don't even we have to go through the list of I mean, the best quarterback I've seen in my era have been like Blake Bortles and David Garrard and probably even Gardner Minshew. I mean, it's just, hasn't been that much better for the Vikings either, but hell.
No, I mean, when you were dealing with Blaine Gabbert, the Vikings were dealing with Christian Ponder, so it wasn't like there was much of a difference going on there. But over the years, the Jaguars relocating actually to London is something that's been floated around. For a while now, would you, if they did this, would you still root for them if they left Jacksonville and relocated to London, or would you just be done with them as a fan of a team? Because I live in San Diego, and the Chargers left, like, I don't know what, like three or four years now, and there's a lot of people out here that are just done with the Chargers, and they don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Jaguars are moving to London, but maybe somewhere else in the United States is a possibility, even though, you know, now they have 2 teams in LA. Vegas has been swallowed up, so I don't know what the next viable option is. But the owners invested plenty of money in Jacksonville, but I always have like just thought, like, would I still be a Jaguar fan if they somehow left? And, you know, you kind of fall in love with the players, and obviously I have this YouTube channel and stuff. I just don't know what team I would go to. So I'd imagine I'd be super salty. But I think at the end of the day, man, like especially the Jaguars draft, like Justin Fields, and we have this great franchise and winning culture and stuff. I just can't see myself just hopping on another team and saying, all right, this is my team. Let's do this. I'd have to, you know, I've seen the Jaguars build up, go down, just all different stuff. So I'd probably still remain a Jags fan.
Well, that's good. You like the organization. So that's good that you'll stick by them. And yeah, like you said, you've invested, you know, you got your channels. So you got people that probably rely on you for some coverage. But in their first five seasons, the Jaguars made the playoffs four times. But life has been tough for them recently since they've only made it once since 2008. And currently they're 1-10, like you've said. So they've already clinched their 11th losing season in the last 13 years. Can you just explain to me what keeps you watching this team year after year, despite all of their losing seasons during the last decade?
Oh man, I don't even know how to answer. I mean, it's just, this is my team, man. I don't go away from my team. And honestly, like it's moments like this when you're just so bad, it's going to make me appreciate once the Jaguars are actually good. I could just sit there and say, look, I know what it's like through the bad times. It's going to make, like, it's like in 2017, that random fluke year. It's like, man, all those losing seasons made this so great. Because like if you were to have ditched the Jaguars and then became a fan right back in 2017, you know, they can be all excited and stuff, but no way will their excitement, I know, reach the amount of excitement that I have. And that's why people like they bandwagoners drive people nuts. But for me, it's like, look, like they may drive you nuts, but they don't have the same joy and appreciation and happiness of when the team becomes great as we do. And we endure it all, just bad double-digit losing seasons, bad coaches, bad quarterback play, horrible defenses, just getting slaughtered year in, year out. I mean, it's the good times that really rise you up. And you know, I've always remained an optimist, especially now we got rid of the GM, we got so much cap room. If we keep on losing, which hopefully we do, we'll be able to secure Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. Like, I mean, I look at the situation. The Jaguars have such an attractive GM spot now with all the cap space and all the draft picks. Like, if we do things right and hire the right people, like, I mean, the Dolphins were the same team as the Jaguars last year. They were the tanking team. But then they go get some guys. They get a quarterback. The coaching remains good. And then, boom, they're in a playoff hunt. Like, the Jaguars literally next year, I'm not saying that they will, but they possibly could be in that situation.
Yeah, I totally could see that happening. As far as the coach goes, there's no way Doug Marrone is going to be the head coach of the Jaguars next year, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, good. So who is the guy or maybe the style of coach that you would like to see the Jaguars go after to be their next head coach?
Well, usually when you go from one coach to another coach, you want a coach that's like completely different.
Yeah.
And you know, just someone that's a little bit different than that guy. And I mean, I look at somebody like maybe the 49ers, Robert Saleh, who actually has been in Jacksonville before as a linebackers coach. I just think him bringing his young energy, excitement, just passion, I think that's someone that players can really rally behind. But other than that, I mean, I think maybe my top candidate, because I know my top candidate for GM will be Mike Borgonzi, who is in the Chiefs front office. You know, he's got some position under the GM, and I just think that would be a terrific hire for the Jaguars, just being that coming from their culture. And then, you know, I've been hearing that, you know, I've been listening to XM Radio, and they've basically been saying that they've been talking around a lot of GM and head coaches or a lot of package deals. So, man, I think getting him and bringing over Eric Bieniemy and pairing up Eric Bieniemy with a guy like Justin Fields, who I'm not going to say is Patrick Mahomes, but he's got a lot of similar qualities to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, man, like that could be a really, really cool combination. And like I said, the Jaguars should get their choice of really GM just with the situation. Because I mean, if you compare the Jaguar situation with another AFC South team, the Houston Texans right now have no picks in the first two rounds, while the Jaguars have two first round picks, two second round picks, thank you Vikings, and also the most cap room in the NFL. I mean, like I said, I mean, the Jaguars should really get their choice. And not only that, there's no state income taxes in Florida either. So, I mean, it's just, it's so attractive. So, I mean, I think for me, I would probably prefer an offensive guy. And the only reason why I say that is because if you get a defensive guy, then you bring an offensive coordinator in here and the offense is doing good and churning, boom, he's going to get a head coaching job. You bring in another guy, boom, he's going to get a head coaching job. And all of a sudden, maybe you bring in an offensive coordinator, it isn't very good and your team sinks. So
that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Vikings, they have Mike Zimmer, who's a defensive guy. They have Pat Shurmur, who was good, and he left to be a head coach. They had Kevin Stefanski, who was, you know, the next offensive coordinator. He left to be a head coach. And now they have Gary Kubiak, and he's kind of a little old to move on to be a head coach. But, yeah, that's something that's very similar. So, yeah, I would if I was the Jaguars, yeah, I'd go after an offensive guy who could just stay there and maintain that offense instead of, you know, hiring a defensive guy who has to go through so many different offensive coordinators. But I do like the combo thing that you're talking about with the Chiefs or some other team, because I think that would work if you bring in two guys who are already familiar with one another and know what the other one wants, because that coach GM relationship is just so important to, you know, developing a team.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm definitely going to be talking about maybe using the Vikings as an example, because, yeah, like, you know, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you guys have always had a good offense, and all of a sudden, I mean, you see what the coach over there for the Stefanski is doing over for the Browns. Yeah. He's doing a great job. And, you know, I don't know who's the current offensive coordinator for you guys right now? Is it
Kubiak?
Is it the guy from, yeah, Kubiak? Yeah, I was about to say. So, I mean, that guy can be very hit or miss. So, I don't know. It's just, you don't want to be changing offensive systems like crazy. It's just not good for a quarterback, not good for young skill players. You know, you want to keep that consistent, just so you don't have to keep switching things up.
Yeah, and they just had a guy who you should be familiar with too before he went to the Jaguars. John DeFilippo was with the Vikings, and he didn't last an entire season because he wanted to pass the ball a lot, and Mike Zimmer was like, no, we're not going to do that. And so that relationship kind of fizzled, and DeFilippo got let go before the season even ended. I mean, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen had two of their best statistical years ever in their careers, but that was because the Vikings were passing probably way more than they should have been. But then he went to Jacksonville, and I think he's with Chicago now.
Yeah, John DeFilippo, talk about an overrated coach, man.
The Eagles made him a lot of money.
Yeah, and then I don't know what his obsession with Foles is, but you know, he goes to the Bears and he's like, all right, let's bring in Nick Foles, and then Nick Foles is just weirdest career for an NFL quarterback, I've got to say, Nick Foles. But yeah, it's not a good situation, and yeah, let's get an offensive guy in here for sure.
Yeah. All right. So you were talking a little bit about the draft, and if the Jaguars get the number one pick, there's still a chance. They got one win, and the Jets have no wins. You know, maybe somehow the Jets will win. You never know. It's the NFL. But if they do get the number one pick, is there anyone, you mentioned Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, is there anyone other than those two that you could see the Jaguars maybe drafting with that top selection?
I mean, me, I wouldn't pick anybody right. else, but you never know with the freaking Jaguars. But I mean, I imagine they're going to bring in someone smart. I mean, they're going to bring those guys in and just get a quarterback in here, just because it's nowadays in the NFL. I mean, I remember back in 2017 after the Jaguars made the run, and then, you know, I wasn't all that mad about re-signing Blake Bortles, just because I was like, oh, look what happened this year. You know, you had Case Keenum, Nick Foles, Blake Bortles, final four quarterbacks in the NFL. It's like, you really don't need a great quarterback. But then now you look at it, man, it's like, if you don't have a great quarterback, you don't know what your team is going to be from year in, year out. I mean, you could have like a Matt Ryan where he has an MVP type season, as in the next year just sinks down and is just inconsistent. I mean, you want a quarterback like nowadays, man, especially with the offensive rules. And it seems like now it used to be defense wins championships, but now, man, it's definitely turned into the offense, just with the way like penalties are being called, and just benefit of doubt seems like ties always given to the offense. So get a quarterback in here that's not only like a great quarterback, but it's just the best player on the field, a guy that plays with confidence, that goes out there, if they're down three, they're going to say, look, I'm going to lead this team down the field, and has no doubts about it. So, I mean, that's what this year is all about, man. Just, I mean, losing sucks. It definitely gets it's hard to root for your team to lose, that's for sure, just because I love these players and I want them to experience success. And, you know, I don't like being the butt of all jokes, but go out there, get your guy. I remember I'm good friends with a Bengals YouTuber, and he says, look, I was on a tank train last year. Everybody was over here making fun of me, calling me a bad fan, but nobody's mad about losing now that they have Joe Burrow. So it's a year full of pain, but it's different with our situation, because if you're a Bengals fan, you want to win because you got a young quarterback, you got a second year head coach. But with the Jaguars, it's like you have a lame duck head coach, you have a GM that you want to get fired, and you have no quarterback. You have Gardner Minshew, Jake Luton, and Mike Glennon, who's all going to be starting multiple games this season. So it's just a bad situation this year.
Yeah. I mean, the Vikings were 1-5 to start this year, so I completely understand, you know, how you feel for the entire year. But luckily, the Vikings have turned things around, and they're actually kind of back in the playoff hunt now at 5-6. But earlier in the year, there were a lot of fans calling for them to tank and try and get Trevor Lawrence and get Kirk Cousins out of there. But luckily, they were able to turn things around. And I think some of those people were probably kind of mad that they didn't tank, but the Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman, the GM there, are just, they're not in a mode where they can do that right now. The guys on their roster, they've got too much invested. So it's good that they've been able to turn things around, because it could have turned into a disaster. All right, so let's look ahead to this weekend's game between the Vikings and the Jaguars inside Minnesota's US Bank Stadium. I checked last night. FanDuel has the Vikings favorite now by 10 points. I believe it started at 9.5, so that's gone up a little bit. My question to you is, what is something the Jaguars do well that could possibly result in them beating the Vikings on Sunday?
I mean, guess the best thing the Jaguars do is just run the ball, man. I mean, James Robinson, he has 880 rushing yards on the season, so he could very well potentially eclipse the you know, the 1,000-yard marker after this Sunday. And the Jaguars offensive line does a good job of run blocking, so really the offensive running game, that's really been the best part of the team so far. And other than that, I mean, they don't do a lot else very well. I mean, the defense is putrid. They give up a lot of rushing yards, even though they're trying to play better, but they just simply don't have the personnel out there. They have no pass rush. You know, Josh Allen is injured. So other than that, Clavon Chase on us has been literally no impact for us. A former first-round pick, Taven Bryan, no impact. And other than that, man, we just have guys back there in the secondary just because we've been so injured. So, I mean, I guess the best thing the Jaguars do is just run the ball. And, I mean, when you're 1-10 team, there's really not much that's going well.
Well, the Vikings are not very good at stopping the run, so that really could make a difference this weekend. And I remember watching, I think a couple weeks ago, when the Jaguars almost pulled off the upset over the Packers. I was rooting for the Jaguars because I hate the Packers. So I go into this weekend thinking, you know, they almost beat the Packers, so I wouldn't be completely surprised if they were able to pull off the upset against the Vikings. And the Vikings typically have these games over the years where they underestimate their opponent, you know, given their record. You know, a couple years ago, the Bills came in and the Vikings were favored by, like, I don't know, 13 or 14 points, and the Bills ended up wiping them off the floor. This weekend, do the Jaguars have a better chance at stopping Dalvin Cook or stopping Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson?
I would honestly probably say Dalvin Cook. I mean, and that's just because the Jaguars are better at stopping the run game. The thing about the pass game is literally the Jaguars get no pass rush in there. So, I mean, literally any quarterback can just tear us apart. We don't have CJ Henderson. We're finally getting back Sidney Jones. But other than that, I mean, the secondary is just bad. So it's kind of like pick your poison. The Jaguars, I mean, they've held down rushers every once in a while. I mean, you know, a couple weeks ago, they played pretty good against the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to stopping James Conner. Then a few weeks prior, like you said, against Green Bay, I mean, Aaron Jones was literally no impact. So with the Jaguars, I mean, it's going to be in a dome game, so obviously the ball is going to be able to be thrown better. So really, I mean, especially with Thielen coming back, I mean, I just I don't see any way the Jaguars can really stop those two guys. I think they might try to sell to stop the run, which they might be able to do, but when it comes to the pass game, I don't know how they're going to do that.
Pressure Kirk Cousins. If they can find a way to do that, usually that's the formula. Who's the one guy on the Jaguars roster that you will be focusing on the most during Sunday's game? It could be someone that you believe can make a difference, or it can just be someone that you want to see maybe progress as a player.
I guess I would probably say cornerback Sidney Jones. Now, Sidney Jones was a former second-round pick by the Philadelphia Eagles. For whatever reason, did not work out well there. But for the Jaguars this year, he's been playing just really, really well. And he could be a real building block going forward. And he's coming back from injury this week. I think he was on like the three-week IR. So he's back this week. And just seeing him match up, who's he going to play against? Is it Justin Jefferson? Is it going to be Adam Thielen? And how does he play against those guys? Does Kirk Cousins try to throw the ball away from him? Or I want to see kind of with him, because right now there's just a lot of injuries on the Jaguars, and I kind of feel like I know what they are on offense. There's no quarterback. I don't really care to evaluate Mike Glennon at all. So, I mean, I guess if there's anybody, it's got to be Sidney Jones for me.
He's a free agent after this year, right?
I believe so. I think they signed him on a one-year deal.
Right, so that'll be interesting to see, you know, how he plays the rest of the year, if he can do well and maybe get a big deal either with Jacksonville or somewhere else. Because I think he went in the second. He was supposed to be a first round pick when he came out of college. I think he was in Washington, and I think he tore his ACL during workouts. So that's why he went in the second round.
Yeah, that's what happened. He was supposed to be a first round pick, and then tore an ACL, and then went, I think, like top of the second or end of the second round or something like that. But he went to he was a rookie, I think, he was a rookie when the Eagles made their Super Bowl run.
Yep. I remember that. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence level in the Jaguars pulling out a win over the Vikings on Sunday?
I would say my confidence level, I'd probably say about a 3. I mean, I don't count the Jaguars out of this game one like completely, just because I mean while they've been losing games, they've been playing a lot better really toward the, you know, last few weeks. I mean, when you look at it, the last four games, lost to Houston by 2 points, lost to the Packers by 4 points, lost to the Browns by 2 points. I mean, the Packers and Cleveland Browns are pretty good teams. So the Jaguars, I mean, when it comes to bad teams, I mean,
both on the road too, right?
Yeah, the Texans was at home, Packers was away, Cleveland Browns is home. With the Jaguars, I mean, they're bad, but when you compare them to like the Jets, like I have no confidence Jets can win a game. It seems like if the Jaguars and Jets played, the Jaguars would just blow them out. But I would.
And Adam Gase still has a job.
Yeah, exactly. So, and obviously, I mean, NFL, it's such a any given Sunday week. I mean, I would have bet all the money in the world that the Vikings would beat the Cowboys, but they weren't able to beat them. So, I mean, you never know. I mean, obviously, I don't think the Vikings are going to be sleeping on the Jaguars, because they're not in the position to sleep on anybody, and they already use their mulligan against the Cowboys when it comes to overlooking an opponent. So, I don't know. I mean, there's, of course, a chance the Jaguars could win, but I ultimately think that the Jaguars probably get whooped this game.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. Big thanks to Dalton, UCF Jaguar, for coming on the show and helping us learn a little bit more about the Vikings' next opponent. Make sure to follow him on YouTube. Remember, just search UCF Jaguar and his channel will come up, so follow him and subscribe to that channel. He puts up a bunch of good stuff. Make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe to the podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, and pretty much wherever you can find podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.